Welcome back. If you aren't already following Naked, please take a minute to do so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Each follow means so much and it actually helps a lot. If you have more than just a minute, it would be absolutely incredible if you could leave a review and maybe even share an episode with a friend. I'm relatively new to the pod world, especially new to the things that are important in the podcasting world. And apparently reviews and follows are up there on the list of importance. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Welcome to Naked, where stories unfold. I'm your host, Janelle, a once former pastor's wife who exchanged small town living for a nomadic life. The unexpected change in our life led my husband and our four kids to traveling the world. From years of being rooted in our small town to the thrill of wandering the world, our story has been anything but ordinary. On our journeys, we've met amazing people, learned their way of life, and heard their unique stories, which has led me to understand the profound impact of shared experiences. In each episode, we explore moments of transformation, guided by one single question. Is there a time in your life when everything changed? We invite ordinary storytellers like yourself to share the often unexpected turns in life. So grab a seat and settle in. This is the Naked Podcast. Well, today you've got me and just me. It's been a while since I've been on here and just chatted about my own journey. Actually, a few years ago since I started the podcast was my very first one. If you haven't listened to it, go back to the very first episode that I recorded, where I talk about why I started the podcast and a bit about my journey. But it's been a couple years, and so I thought I would jump on here and today tell you a little bit about my journey as a parent, becoming a parent. I was a really young mom, and my first pregnancy was a very unexpected one. That ended up being a loss. But I share more about that in the story today. So, and just the journey of being a parent and coming into the world of parenting and some of the surprises and some of the things I've learned along the way. I hope that that you enjoy this episode and that you connect with it in some way if you're a parent. And I just wanted to share a bit of the journey and let it unfold like a flower. Like I tell all my guests when they come on, I'm like, it's very casual. There's no, there's really no written script. I only ask one question. But again, like being the person who's sharing your story for me today, there's always like, oh my gosh, like what parts of this journey do I want to share? And I always, like I tell my guests, I'm like, just go with what comes to you in the moment. So today I just went with what came to me. It's a little bit all over the place. Sharing, you know, the last, trying to take 25 or 24 years of parenting and put it into 30 minutes. That's a bit of a abbreviation, but I hope that you enjoy it. And again, I appreciate you being here and being a part of Naked. It means a lot to me, and I hope that you have a beautiful day. Every time I ask someone if they want to be on the show, on the podcast, the first question is like, what is it about? Which is so simple. I'm like, it's just basically one question where I ask, is there a time in your life when everything changed? And the truth of it is that most of us have many times in our life where everything changed. We're just like, there's so many seasons where it just like the whole world seemed to change for us. And I think that many of us feel that way in our journeys and in our life. Like, well, how do we pick one? So when I first started the podcast, I jumped on here and it's been a while. It's been like a couple years since I've done this, but I jumped on here and I just was like, didn't think about it. I just came and I was like, whatever comes to me, comes to me. And if you haven't listened to the first podcast, jump back to the very first and you'll hear about why I started this and a little bit more about, why I feel it's important to share the stories. And I think if you're new here, it, to put a capsule in it, just basically it's like when we share our stories, we realize that we are less alone in our journeys. And I think the listeners that have gotten back to us and have shared theirs, just basically their overall and how they feel when they leave the podcast is like, gosh, I just realized that so many of us are going through so many things. And there's a lot of parallels and bridges between our stories that remind us that we're just not treading through life alone. So I was recently talking to a friend and she was talking about just pregnancy and going through that and the journey. And I've talked to some friends over the years that have gone through many pregnancies, some that have been successful and some that haven't. And so I wanted to share a bit of my journey about becoming a mom, and what that looked like for me. So I got married super young. I was 19 when I got married and, my husband and I, we were planning to just like buy a house, you know, do the things that get settled kind of thing. And then we hope to do some traveling. And after we bought our first home, I think I was about mid 20, like 20, maybe halfway through my 20th year. And we bought a place and we were like, oh my gosh, now we can maybe start thinking about what it might be like and look like to travel, just like a trip, short trip, a week or 2 weeks. And I started to feel kind of funny. I was like, something doesn't feel right in my body. And after a few weeks of like my period being late, I was like, maybe I should get a test. But we were so like set on going and traveling and having that experience. I mean, we were just kind of kids, you know, we didn't plan to get married and have kids right away. But I took the test and I was pregnant. And I was really actually quite sad at initially being like, oh my gosh, like, I really just wanted to go on this adventure. I'm just a kid myself in so many ways. But obviously that for me faded really quickly because I got so excited. My belly started growing and got to hear the heartbeat and all the things. You're like, oh, like I'm going to be a mom. And so many of my friends were kind of in that same season as me. Some of them are a bit older than me and a little further into their journey. So my one really close friend, she was actually wanting to have baby and everything like that. So I was like, I felt like I was kind of in a journey where doing things similar to my friends, but I hadn't really planned it, but it didn't matter. Cause now I was into it, you know. I passed the 8 week mark and passed the 12 week mark. And I'm like, okay, like I can tell people and just feeling really excited. And my bump was growing like much faster than I thought it would. And was just like, so excited. And we were getting closer to Christmas. And I was like, oh my gosh, like next year I'm going to have a baby in my arms. And on the 24th of December, I noticed some spotting. And I was like, oh, I was reading the book called What to Expect When You're Expecting, which I did not, now looking back, would not recommend it. But at the time, it was the book that everybody was reading. I mean, this is like 23 years ago and 24 years ago, probably. And so I was like, okay, I got to get my hands on this book. So I'm reading it. And there was like a lot of negative things. So in some ways, I felt like I was looking for things that could go wrong because I felt like the book was really emphasizing on some of those points, or maybe it was just my mindset at the time was just focusing on those things. Anywho, I was reading about like when you have spotting and how bad that can be. And I was kind of scared and nervous and it was like Christmas. So I didn't want to, you know, alarm anybody or anybody. My doctor's office was closed obviously for Christmas. And so I was like, well, maybe this will pass. Christmas Day, had some more spotting. And on the 26th, it was just consistent. And so I was like, maybe we need to go get this checked out. And it wasn't a lot. Like it was mostly like a brownish discharge. It wasn't really even like really bright red, but it was enough that it felt alarming to me because it was also, I'm a new mom and trying to figure, you know, it's my first time going through this. And so I'm trying to figure out, is it right? And I have some siblings that had already had kids and, you know, speaking from their experience, no one seemed too alarmed because it wasn't like, it was like, I wasn't bleeding. I was just spotting, but not even really like red spotting. It was more of just, more of just like a brownish discharge. So I go to the doctor and they're like, oh, it's probably fine. I go to eMERGE, the hospital, and they're like, oh, it's probably fine. But we'll do some scans and we'll check things. And they check my uterus. They're like, yeah, everything seems good. Like it seems like it's the right size. And they're like, but we can't seem to get a heartbeat. So I was like, okay, but they're like, sometimes it's just the situation of the baby and where things are situated, you know, like at the time I was just completing my 14th week. And so I was, you know, like you're kind of getting further along where you should be able to hear the heartbeat. And so they are like, look, we're going to do an internal ultrasound. And I was like, okay, again, all of this is scary to me because if you've had an ultrasound internally, it's a little bit invasive. It's basically like a long, it feels like a long pole that has like a camera on the end that they insert into you. And so they're like in there checking around and they're like talking and I hear them muttering words and I'm like, okay, like I don't know if I heard them right. I'm also like nervous. And they're like, we're going to get the doctor to come in and talk to you about some things. I'm like, okay. So the doctor comes in and he says, you're actually pregnant with twins, but neither one of the baby's hearts are beating. And my heart just sunk. I haven't talked about this in a long time. My heart just sunk and I was like, what? Like, oh my gosh, I've always wanted to have twins. The nurse came by and she was like, hey, just so you know, like I have twins and you'll probably get pregnant again with twins. And she was comforting, but it was like, she was wanting to be sweet and comforting, but it was also just like, I don't even know where to put all of my thoughts and my words at the time. Cause I'm just dumbfounded by the fact that, and overwhelmed by the fact that like, I am having twins, but I'm not having twins. And so they're like, basically what's happened is your body is not recognized that the babies have stopped growing. And so your uterus has just continued to grow, and which can cause a lot of problems, hemorrhaging and things like this. So they're like, we're going to have to do a DNC. So basically just to clear out everything, clear out the uterus and clear out the babies. And that was a lot. It was a lot to understand and to take in. It felt like everything was happening so quickly. I went in being, you know, pregnant, thinking my belly's growing really fast, but not really knowing why. And then finding out in the second that I am having twins and then I'm not having twins. And so it was a very big shock and a lot of emotion and trying to figure out how to process all this stuff. And I was just a kid. And so my experience, like I said, it was my first, and my experience was so limited and knowing, and my friends, any of my friends who had kids, they were just pregnant, or had just barely had one. So it just, I felt really alone in my journey because I didn't know a lot of people that had gone through a loss. At the time, people didn't really talk about those things. And so it was just a big shock. I felt very alone. So go into the hospital, do the DNC the same day. And, you have all those similar, your body responds the same way as far as like you're bleeding for weeks afterwards. And, it just felt like a loss that I couldn't really explain. And I felt very alone in it because, though my husband was really supportive through the whole journey, it's like, you're the one that's carrying it. You're the one that really feels like all the changes in your body and the shifts that come with that. So the weeks after was just trying to process. And like I said, no one was really talking about it. So other friends anybody who had gone through it didn't really say too much. And so it was very much a lonely journey. But as I've went through my years in my life, I realized that so many people have suffered the loss of a miscarriage, either early on or later. In the journey, it was actually one of my friends that I remember now thinking about it. She had had a baby full term at the time. And there was a lot of complications within her organs and things like that. And so her and I actually were able to connect on that, but that was pretty much the only person. And we weren't really that close prior to being pregnant, but this kind of brought us together and gave us a place to kind of land. But even so, she had experienced it in such a different way. Like she had held her baby and had gone through that. So that was, it felt like it was like another layer, if you will. But anyways, through my journey, I was like trying to find a way to bring closure. Like she, for her baby, like had a funeral and I didn't really know what that, how do you bring closure to something? And I remember someone once giving me, when I lost the twins, they gave me these little feet. And then it said, this is like the size of like a 15-week-old baby, their feet. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like it made it so real. Even more than what it already was. So I was like, how do I do something to honor them? And somebody said, why don't you name them? That can really bring closure to a loss. And so, especially when you haven't met your baby. So we ended up naming them and that did bring some closure. And then I created like a little box of all of the things that were part of that 15-week journey, the little feet that I got and like my bracelet from the hospital and the ultrasound pictures and just like my first time when I went there and like hearing the heartbeat and all those things. And I just was able to, I still have it to this day. And just something to keep as a keepsake for in memory of them, to not discard the fact that like that wasn't part of my path, you know. And I've shared very openly with people over the years that have gone through similar stories. And now I feel like people are much more open with sharing specifically miscarriaging and what that's like. And there's a lot more support around it. But for me, it was really, really, yeah, I felt like it was quite a difficult journey. And as I got older, I realized my grandma had some miscarriages and she shared her journey with me and her stories. And it made me feel like, oh my gosh, like in our journeys, we just can feel like we're treading through our own mud, our own water, you know, alone. But in fact, there are so many people around us that have gone through something similar and have come out. And I think why I wanted to share this story today is because it felt really hopeless after I miscarried the twins, because it took time to get pregnant after that. And after being pregnant, all I wanted to do was be mom and be pregnant. And so we started, as soon as we could, we started trying, and it was months after months after months of negative tests, and it felt hopeless. And I was like, sometimes I would be like, well, maybe the test is wrong, and so maybe I should go get blood work done. And my doctor is like, you know, he's so sweet with me. He was my doctor since I was a kid, and he was like, you know, I'm proud of you for coming in and doing the blood test, because sometimes the, you know, the urine test can be wrong. But he's like, just the best thing you can do is to not be stressed about this, because then when there's so stress, sometimes your body is just, it can prolong the process. Now, how much truth to that, I don't know, but I tried my best to be calmer. It ended up taking me 9 months to get pregnant after I lost the twins. And of course, with that came a lot of fear. And I remember revisiting a lot of the words that I read in the book that I was mentioning, What to Expect When Expecting, and all those fears that were wrapped around that, especially because I felt fearful the first time I read it, and now I had experienced a loss. And so I, I kind of just kept it to myself. I kept it quiet. I didn't tell anybody until we told our family, but didn't tell like the public or any extended people until after we had passed what we had gone through. So after we were done the 15 weeks, then it felt like a milestone, you know, a milestone that you reached something that you didn't reach before. And then having an ultrasound and seeing her, as my first daughter, and, getting through some of those things that were really, felt like limiting around the ideas. Like 12 weeks meant nothing to me because I had done that before. And now I had just had to get past the 15 weeks mark. And then it felt like I could stop holding my breath, you know? Being a mom, and I remember when I first gave birth to her, and like that feeling of like touching and holding your baby and smelling their skin. There's nothing quite as amazing as smelling the freshness of a baby. Like that, just anyone who has a baby, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's something so beautiful about it. And I just wanted to encourage anybody who's going through a season where they're just like, I don't know if I'm going to get pregnant, and you feel hopeless and you feel lost in it. And, I just want to say, like, I'm hoping for you. And there's a lot of beautiful supports out there that do give, I think shed some light on this. I just want you to know that, like, keep trying, keep your hope, keep believing, that you'll get to hold your baby, and whatever form that looks like, whether it be, you actually having a child, or whether it looks something different. Some of my friends, they've been through journeys where it didn't quite look the same as mine, and they ended up adopting, and that was a beautiful journey too. But I think parenting, however you find your way into the world of parenting, it is one of the most beautiful and magnificent journeys you'll ever go on. It's also one of the hardest ones. There are so many things that people don't talk about. I was just reading somebody I follow, and they're talking about like when you first give birth and like you sit up and it just sounds like gushing coming out of you, and no one talks about how like your body is like going through so much and bleeding, and there's just all of those things that happen. But the thing is, again, like you're not alone in it. Like we've all been there. And when you're trying to figure out how to breastfeed, I remember trying to breastfeed my first child, I have inverted nipples, and I was like, how do I even do this? And like, well, you need a special thing to help your child attach and latch. And it was just like such a hard thing to figure out. And I think the thing to realize is give yourself a little grace. Like we're all figuring this out for the first time. Something I just told my kids are so much older now. And I said to them the other day, I was like, we need to realize that you're here for the first time and I'm here for the first time. So to take off like that, that like pressure of like, am I doing it right? You know, we're going to fumble. We're going to like do a lot of like, it feels like we're doing a lot of fumbling and falling and learning. But I think as long as we are graceful with ourselves, and when we do things, they're like, oh, I could have done that differently. Or when you get uptight with your kid and you're like, oh, I could have done that a little bit smoother. Or I could have had a different tone. Be humble. And tell your kids, I'm sorry. Like I'm still learning how to be a mom, and I could have done that better. And I'm really sorry that I came across that way. And when you do those things, it creates this like vulnerability between the two of you. And they respect your humbleness, and they will also be humble and vulnerable with you. That's one of the biggest things I've learned of being a mom, is to be okay when you screw up, because we're going to screw up. And, you know, I remember one time my kids and I talk about this, and they were all little. I have four kids, so three girls and one boy. And, I think my youngest at the time was probably like two or something. And they were all like, ask me questions. And, I stood in the hallway, and they'll all remember this. And I just was like, ah, I'm not much of a screamer, but I was just like, I just like had reached a max, and I was just like, I don't know how to do this. And they're all like, Mom, are you okay? And I'm just like, sometimes it's just enough. You know, you just need you need to vent a little bit. And in that moment, I didn't feel, you know, I felt embarrassed. I was like, oh my gosh, the kids are like all worried and scared that I had like had that moment. But honestly, it's just like, no, sometimes you just feel like that. You've just reached your absolute max. And it's given the kids space to have their moments where they're just like, I need to get it out. And I think it can be such a healthy thing to just be able to get out what you're feeling. And it's like, parenting will stretch you in ways you didn't know. It'll make your patience expand in a way you didn't know. It'll make you stop and see the flowers in a way that you used to do when you were a kid. It will make you hear a giggle from across the room and be able to pick up which one of those kids is yours. I remember being when my kids were little, and like I could tell when they're crying. It's like there could be 50 kids in a room, and if my kid was crying, I knew exactly which one it was. Your ear just gets so in tune to the people that you're with, because they're your little people. And so like, this is such a beautiful thing about being a mom. And if you are wanting to be a mom, or you're starting the mom journey, I just want to say you're on to something beautiful. Parenting has been the most amazing thing I've been through in my life. And I had the opportunity to homeschool my kids most of the years. And my third child just graduated from high school. And I am so grateful for every day and every year I got to have them home and do life with them. And yeah, it was hard. And there's been some seasons that have been really hard. We're in a season right now where our oldest daughter is living in a different country, and everybody's kind of growing up, and you're like, oh, we're doing some firsts again. Like we're starting over. We're doing for a while, like with your first baby, there's all these firsts, and you know, the first walk and the first talk and the first birthday and first Christmas. And there's all these firsts, the first bike ride, the first day of school. There's all these firsts. And then not that those firsts for your second and third and fourth kids and so on aren't the same and special, but you've been there, you've done it now. And so you've experienced that. And, so you have a little bit of like understanding. I remember the first time I dropped my daughter off at school with my oldest, I was just like, I sat in the parking lot and cried. I was like, I was just a mess, because it was just the first, and it was something I'd never experienced before. And it felt like we were growing in a way that I didn't see coming so quickly. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're in kindergarten now. And now she's not home every day. And it just changed things. And then you have your second and third and fourth kid or so on. And, their first day and their first walk and their first talk and all those things really, really matter. And they're special, but you have some sort of, understanding because you've been there before. So you have something to, relate it to, I guess. And now I'm in a season where like my first child's moving away and like across the world. And how do you do that? And how do you do that well? And I realized that I'm going to do some things well, and I'm going to do some things not well. And as long as I can be honest and vulnerable about that, I think that we can always find each other in that. That me and the kids, we can always find each other in those seasons. And yeah, we've gone through some really, really amazing and fun things, but some really, really difficult, hard things that I never imagined I would go through as a mom. And I think, yeah, it's really, really important to just be vulnerable and be honest. I always say this, like, respect is given and respect is earned. And as parents, sometimes we can be like, I'm the parent, you know, and we have this idea that we got to be authoritative. And yeah, there's those parts of it. But more than that, I think it's respect. If we give our kids respect, they will also give us respect. And with teen years, people always said, like, watch out for the teen years. It's going to be a really hard time. And I never really let those words really soak into my head too much. I was like, no, like, I don't really want to believe that because I don't want to have to go through that. And I mean, there is a lot of hormones and things that are changing as you go through teen years. But as a whole, I would say that being humble with my kids, being honest with my kids, being real with them about mental health, being real with them about sexuality, being real with them about just hormones and emotions and talking about periods. Like, when my girls have periods, I'm like, when they first got their periods, I'm like, it's a celebration. I learned this from my friend who has two girls too. When her kids were growing up, she, like, it's a celebration. Like, we don't shy her up these things. We talk about these things. And it's like, you're like moving into womanhood. And I remember I was getting, like, for the girls, I got them baskets and I was like, you got a fresh pair of underwear and, like, got some jammies and got some different types of ice creams and things like that. That's like, when you get your period, you might be craving something. So here's like a little voucher for going to get ice cream. And like, I just made it a thing. And I was like, we celebrate it because it's part of being a woman. And I have three girls. So it's like, I don't want to make that, this can't be awkward. You know, we have to talk about the things that maybe in my life, when I was younger, we didn't talk about. Like, I kind of feel like it was a bit taboo back then. We didn't, you know, it's conversations we didn't always have, but I've just learned that, celebrate these things and be honest and vulnerable about the things and talk about the hard stuff, even when it feels like it's difficult. The thing is it's never going to not, those things are never going to get better if we don't talk about them. So it's so important to, I think, have those conversations and dive into the things that feel uncomfortable and be real. I mean, I went through some things when I was younger as a teenager that I've been very real with my kids about, so that as they went into those things, they're like, oh, like, I'm not alone in this. Like, it's so important to share parts of our story with our kids, because I think it makes them realize that we're human too. And we don't have it all figured out. And we had to learn our way through it. It creates this like bridge where sometimes I think there can be a bit of a gap when we go through the season and our kids are changing and we're trying to figure out how to like communicate about things and how to not make it awkward. And I think when we don't talk about it, it does make it awkward. I have this thing in our family we call it clear as kind. I think that's something we found from Brene Brown, or actually we used to say Brene Brown that shit, which is like, if you know Brene Brown, she's like seriously honest and all the way vulnerable. She's like, just get it out. But to be clear is to be kind to you and to the other person. Cause how can we know what the other person needs or what's going on if we're not clear about it? Like, I say this to the kids sometimes. I'm like, if one of somebody's hurt you or done something or does something that bothers you, how do they know to change that if you're not clear about that? And vice versa, like, growth comes from being honest with each other. As long as we're able to take that information and go learn and see that it comes from a good place and go, oh, like, okay, I need to make this change just because this is what I do here is it's hurtful. But that goes across so many lines, I think, when it comes to just communicating with our kids through their, you know, as their babies and communicating as they go to toddlers and as they grow. It's like, I always say, like, being a parent is like dancing. You don't really know what dance you used to put on or even if the song that's playing. You're just trying to figure it out, because just as you try to figure your kid out, they change and they grow and you're growing and you're changing. Like, your child from an infant to one is such a mass amounts of growth. And that's like a physical you can see. But the same thing is happening every year with your kids, like 2 to 3, and they might not look very different from the age of like 16 to 17, but there's still so much growth. It's maybe more internal. And so to realize that we're always evolving, we're always growing, we're always changing. And that we can be open with that and realize that we don't have it figured out. And just because we've been parenting for 20 or 30 or 10 years, whatever it is, it's like, no, you're still learning because they're still growing and so are you. So leaving room for the fact that, man, I don't know what I'm doing, you know, like in the season of my first growing and moving off, it's like, that was a huge, huge stumbling. I felt like I was like tripping over my feet in that season of like, okay, she's leaving and my daughter and I are so close. And like, what does this look like? And I wanted to do it well. I wanted to do it in a way that like, she knew that I was celebrating, but I felt sometimes like in my heart that I was, like the things that I felt in my heart, I couldn't articulate with my words. And so I'd be like, I'm so excited for her. But then I would see her and it would come with across maybe like not excited or maybe like a little bit distant or, yeah, just like it felt a bit like friction a bit. And to realize like, okay, like I need to be honest with her about that also, that like my heart is really excited for you, but sometimes it's like, I'm trying to figure out how to do this because I've never done this before. So this is all new. But it's also new for her too. So how we process it and how we go through it, is something that we don't really know how we're going to do it because it's the first, and to give ourselves some grace and to allow some room for the stumbling and for the mistakes. One thing I did in that season, I don't know, like how to explain this, but I went on a walk every morning for like 15 minutes. The time we were living in Nicaragua. And so we had this, it was so hot there. To walk there is hard because you're sweating when you're sitting. But we had this patio, this giant patio that like they feel that we were renting from. They had made it for their daughter for her wedding to seat like 100 people. So it was a giant, giant patio and it was long and it was overlooking the water. And so instead of climbing the hills in Nicaragua and losing my breath, I decided to walk around in circles on this patio. And I would talk to my, like, I would let my wiser self speak to me. And sometimes I would go up there and I would just say the things to myself that I had a hard time, that I had a hard time processing. And I would just be like, something like, Janelle, you need to be open and you need to be, let your guard down. And this whole thing with your daughter leaving, it doesn't mean that things change between your relationship. It just means that things look different. And I would talk to myself and I would record it. And it was actually super helpful to me because on a Monday, I would record myself talking to myself about what I needed to really hear, about what people even in my world didn't know I was going through, but I knew how I was feeling. And so I could address those things to myself. It might sound silly, but it was a really beautiful way to go through a season that I would have never gone through. And I talked to myself and then every day, Tuesday through Friday, when I'd go for my walk, I would listen to those, to that recording. And it really helped me go through that journey of transition and realizing, that I could do it, you know, I could do it and didn't have to be this tension. And it really helped me process what I was actually going through internally. And it helped me, I think, in that season, be a lot better. It was difficult. We were going through so many things at that time. That was just one. And so I was processing a lot of things and it really helped me, navigate a season that was the first for me. And I think our firsts all look different. And as a parent, something I've reflected on is like, you know, you have all these firsts, but then you also have the lasts. And so it's so important to pay attention because, I remember when my youngest daughter, she's now 15, probably about 4 years ago, she brought me a dandelion. That's a flower in Canada. It's like everywhere they're weeds, but they're beautiful and they're yellow and yellow is her favorite color. And she brought me a dandelion and I was like, oh my gosh, this might be the last dandelion I get. And I just had this knowing that like, wow, I don't know if I'm going to get another flower like this. So I ended up putting it into a book and keeping it. And it was, I haven't received a dandelion since then. but in parenting, I think sometimes we can be so wanting seasons to end because they feel unknown or they feel overwhelming, or they feel tiring, or they feel maybe scary. But I think what's beautiful about those seasons is that they do end and they do change, whether they're hard or amazing, they do change. And if we can hold them a little bit in a way of nostalgia, knowing that like there is a last bottle that's made, there is a last breastfeeding, there is the last diaper that you have to change, there is the last day of potty training, there is the last day of school, there is the last art show and the last dance class, and there's the last hockey, and there's the last time they come into the door when they call that place home. And there's a last dinner around the table when it's just you and your family. And I think for me, it's just, it's reminded me in seeing those lasts and seeing those things, the nostalgia around that, it's allowed me to be more present, even in the midst of the chaos. Because I know when you have all the kids running around and they're all going in 50 million different directions and everybody's got to go somewhere, it can feel like a lot. And so I'm not saying that it's not a lot, because it is. But I'm just saying that to slow things down and to be present and go, wow, there's so much beauty and so much nostalgic in the moments of realizing like this could be the last. And it's not to say that it's, yeah, like I'm not saying that parenting doesn't have its own things where you just like you're hustling through things and you get stuff done. But I think it just slowed things down for me to realize the simple little things, you know, like when they come give you a hug. I started off this year starting a new gratitude way of tracking my gratitudes. So I've got a gratitude journal and every day, and it's the simple things. Sometimes it's just like the smile from across the room from my daughter, or maybe it's the walk, you know, that my son and I had to take the trash out, that a conversation we had, and it just like, it takes these little tiny micro moments and that you might not notice, and it makes you realize how grateful you are for them. And so that's been a really beautiful way for me to move into the season of change in my family with my kiddos and everybody growing up and the growth of that, to like notice the micro moments and be really grateful for them. I started this other little journal that I'll quickly mention, and I just create this, this book, that just has little captions. So you could do it on any piece of paper, but it's just, if there's a chat that I wanted to remember, so there's a little box for chat, there's a little chat moment box for memories, there's one for maybe for music, there's one for laughter, there's, you can pick anything. And I think there's six of them that I have. And each month, I'll write like maybe 1 to 5 memories in those little boxes. I was horrible at tracking things when my kids were little. I had these books. All you parents who are really good at this, I'm so proud of you. I was not one of them, where you like have a lock of hair and you have like the first tooth and all these things. Like I had good intentions, but I'm not a good scrapbooker, except I don't like it that much because it's so much detail. And I feel like I just get lost and bored in it. And now there's all these like things you can do online that are making it a lot easier, but I don't know. I just was never really good. I actually have the book, I think, still that I was like started off doing for Alexis, my oldest, but I never filled it out. So I get when people are like, I don't want to do this. It's a lot of work. But this is what I do now, is just something very simple. It's just a blank piece of paper. And I just write down the month and I write down these little boxes and I just write down the micro moments that I might overlook. And it's been so cool. I've been doing it for a year now. And when I look back on it, I'm like, wow, like these are the moments that would so easily come and go that I would forget, that I think are the beauties of being a parent, are the beauties of being a human, and remembering the small, tiny things that make life that much more beautiful and joyful. So this is a podcast that kind of goes all over the map from the beginning to where I am now. I just wanted to share a little bit of the journey of where parenting has taken me. And if you are a parent, give yourself a hug for me. You're doing a great job. You are, you're raising humans. You're raising amazing beings. So keep up doing the good work and know that you're not alone in whatever part of your story you're going through, whether it's amazing and you're just starting it out, or if you're somewhere in the middle and you're trying to not to pull your hair out of your head, or you're somewhere on the end and you're waving your kids goodbye as they tear through their own journeys. like, well done. And whatever season you're in, know that you are standing with a bunch of us that have either gone through it or are in it or are going through it. Yeah, so I just wanted to say thank you for being here, for listening today. Know that you're not alone in your story. And if you or someone you know would like to share your story, I'm always open. You can email me at nakedwithjanelle@gmail.com. That's nakedwithjanelle@gmail.com. And yeah, I'd love to have you be a part of the podcast. If that's something you might want to share, just a clip of your story, as there's so many seasons in our life when everything changed, just pick one. I always tell people this is a very relaxed conversation. I'm telling you, bring a glass of wine or bring some tea or something to drink, and just, it's just me and you. So if you ever feel like intrigued or like you might want to know more about it, you can just email me at nakedwithjanelle@gmail.com. And then we can go from there. But thank you for being here, for joining us, for being a part of the podcast. If you've been with us since the beginning, you know that it's had some breaks along the way. And that's just because life has been called me in different directions, but I'm here now and I'm back, and we've got a lot of amazing, amazing guests coming in the next little while, as we have had this year. I've been so thankful for everybody that's been on here and shared their story. I feel so grateful when people say yes. I don't even know how to really explain it, but I feel incredibly honored. And just like, yeah, humbled in the fact that people would want to join me and join us, all of us, in sharing their story. I know that that can be difficult. And I feel really, really grateful for all the stories that have been shared here and the ones that we're recording now and coming in the next couple of weeks. If you've been a follower and you've been listening to our stories, and you feel like you've enjoyed them or would want to share a bit, I would be honored and delighted to have a review. Just take a minute to share a bit. It helps, build the podcast. It helps, kind of put our ranking in different places. So it makes a big difference when you share, or leave a review. It would mean a lot to me and to our community. I hope that you're having a beautiful, beautiful day wherever you are and wherever life has you. Again, know that you are not alone and that you're in this journey. And there are many of us around that, though we may not be with you in person, we are with you in heart. Sending you so much love. Ciao. Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcast goodness. This way you'll never miss out on any future episodes, plus it really helps us. And if you want to share your favorite episode with a friend, that would be absolutely incredible. This goes a long way. If you'd like to join Naked by sharing part of your story, just leave us a message on Instagram or email us at nakedwithjanelle@gmail.com. Also, a big thanks to my son, Mikkel, who is the best cheerleader and maybe one of the biggest believers in Naked, and also produces and edits all our podcasts. I am beyond grateful for him and very aware that I couldn't do this on my own. Thank you so much for tuning in and for being here.